Yeah, Valentine is a time to share God's love among ourselves. Let us pray. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of everyone, Lord, our heart, be acceptable to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's good to be back again, and we are celebrating Valentine's in a couple of days, but according to the Chinese, this is the 15th, as I said earlier, it's the Chinese Valentine's so-called. And for single ladies, they will go out, and that's the only time when ladies are being so-called released to go out in China to just to go around strolling the rivers and throw oranges into the river. This is what they practice. Hopefully, they will have someone will propose to them, right? Every time this around this period, the world celebrates Valentine's Day. And the florists and gift shops are making lots and lots of money. Really, lots of money. How do I know? Because we own a florist and gift shop many years back, Caris Creation, a corporate flowers and gift shop owned by us. We started it. Saw blooming, really rise of orders of flowers, of gifts. I left the ministry for about 5 years in order to understand what the world is like. Being a pastor for many years, I left the ministry, so-called, for a period of time and set up this Caris Creation, a gift and florist shop, in order to understand what people are going through, business people. And we have a lot of hard hit, going to hotels to meet up with people. But this gift shop, really, we experienced that this is the best time for us florists to earn lots and lots of money, especially roses, all right? Roses. Why roses, right? You can earn more than 100%, 200%, 300%. Let's say daily that rose that in the marketplace you buy maybe probably 80 cents. And then during Valentine's Day, per stock of roses, you can fetch to $5 to $6, even $8 just for one stock. And of course, for young people, I love you. I remember one ordered 100 of roses. And it takes me such a long time to count. One, two, three, and don't really, after that, you lost count. Count many times. I asked my neighbor in the shop next to me, said, please help me to count. Oh, really, it's the best time for gifts. Why roses, right? Why not tulips? And nowadays, they have tulips. They have other kinds of roses, but not chrysanthemum. Chrysanthemum is for funerals, all right? All right. There are certain flowers represent certain things. And really, certain flowers give certain scents, a kind of a smell that will aggravate depression, right? And you will even attempt suicide. So we have to be very careful. But why roses, all right, during Valentine? You say that roses during this period of time, February, it blooms, really, really bloom beautiful, right? And then Valentine's Day, this period, historically supposed to be coincide with the beginning of spring, so-called. And it's a bird's mating season, a time when garden roses really bloom, and that's why it's beautiful. To this day, roses remain one of the major symbols of Valentine, of the love holiday. Whether we like it or not, right? Florists, people like us, many years back, are really, really making great profit. Only one thing just to remember, to take off the thorns and the roses. And we have to detorn it, every single one. Now, there are many versions of Valentine. How this Valentine comes about. I think if you have heard about it, you have surfed the net. But let me just briefly share what Valentine actually is, all right? Valentine actually is not a festival. It's not a festival or celebration. Valentine is the name of a priest, a Roman priest, at the time when Emperor Claudius, who persecuted the church, right? This Emperor Claudius issued an edict that prohibited marriage of young people. He refused. He gave an order not to let young people marry because he's very involved in war. He felt that unmarried soldiers will fight better, will fought better than married soldiers because married soldiers might be afraid of what happened to them when they die, their wives and their family. So this emperor said, young people, you are not supposed to marry. It was a permissive society during Valentine's Day, pre-Valentine. And polygamy was very, very common, very popular. Instead of one man, one woman. But some of the people during that time, very attracted to the Christian faith of one man, one woman. And the church obviously was very frightened because this emperor gave an order not to marry people who are young. And priest Valentine, his name is Valentine, later he was made a saint. The idea of encouraging them to marry within the Christian church was Saint Valentine's purpose. He was a priest and he stood firm on that. Later he was caught, and this emperor insists that he be a good Roman, not a good Christian, but he stood firm on his faith. There are many legends around this. While he was in prison, he was being sentenced to death. And one of the men who judged him was one of the person named Arterius, something like that, whose daughter was blind. He had a blind daughter. And then St. Valentine, the priest, happened to pray for this daughter, who is good. The father judged him. And a very astonishing miracle came. She was recovered. She was able to see. And this guy, Arterius, became a Christian himself. And before he was killed, Valentine sent out letters to his friends and then signed, "From your Valentine." And that's how it started, "From your Valentine." Everybody can be Valentine. The last few words he will say, he signed it, "Valentine." This is, what does Valentine's mean to you? How are we going to celebrate Valentine? All right? It's not only commercial, but it's a beautiful story behind. Valentine has come to be known as the patron saint of lovers. But Valentine, to me, speaks of greater love, the love of God for each one of us and our family. And because having of the love of God in us, each one of us, we are able to love others. Christian can celebrate, can remember St. Valentine and celebrate Valentine with a different twist. Now, let's look at God's word once again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 12. Okay, this is written by the Apostle John, who is the apostle of love. All right. Verse 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he first loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we have loved one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." A couple of days ago, last week, I received a very interesting text, right? And it reads this way. I thought it's good to share this during Valentine's sharing. "A lovely little girl was holding two apples with both hands," right? Some of you may receive this. "And then the mom came in and softly asked her little daughter with a smile, 'My sweetie, could you give mom one of your two apples?' The girl looked up at her mom for some seconds. Then suddenly she took one bite of one apple and then quickly of the other apple." Two apples. The mom felt the smile on her face freeze. She tried not to reveal her disappointment. Then the little girl handed one of the bitten apples and said to her mom, and said, "Mommy, here you are. This is the sweeter apple." I thought it was so touching, this story, right? What can I learn from this text? "Mommy, this is a sweet..." Of course, you bite too, but this is a sweeter one. Take it. What can I learn from this text when I read it? Only the best for her best. That's the mom. Now, the apostle who wrote 1 John is known to be the apostle of love, and he once described himself as the apostle that God, that Jesus loved. Right? The apostle that Jesus loved, he can feel the intimate relationship with God. And many of the words, the verses in John, in 1 John, is all about God's love, God's love. The famous one is John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Very much on the topic of love. And here John in verse 9, he emphasized very strongly on the love of God. He says, this verse 9 says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only begotten Son, into the world.
God showed his love among us, but he did so by sending his son into the world that we, each one of us, might live through him. God's life-giving love is what I'll be sharing with all of us this afternoon. Name it as God's Valentine. Okay, then it's like God's Valentine. I'm going to share 3 points with us, three points for us to meditate upon, to think about. First is God is the source of all love. Verse 7 to verse 8. And secondly, God sets the example of what love is. Verse 9, verse 10. God commands us to love each other. Verse 11 to verse 12. Let's look at the first point. God is the source of love. Verse 7 says, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. We always see God is love, God is love. Love is from God, and God is love. Verse 8, love is not God, but God is love. It speaks, these two verses speaks of God's relationship with human. God is love, and love comes from him. Just like the little girl that I shared earlier, the text I read. Maybe the most little loving girl you have ever known, right? She gave her best to her mom. The way parents, most of all our parents, the way parents or a mother or a father shows love and wanting the best for their children is just a glimpse of on what genuine love is like. No matter how full and how rich and how much a mother or parents can sacrifice her love or their love for their children, it is still, this is my mom. My mom is loving. This is my dad. My dad is a loving dad. But it cannot be mom is love or dad is love. Daddy is love. Only because only God is love. My mom is very loving. This family is very loving. It's not this family, it's love. Right? You get what I mean? God, only God can be love. God is love. The love of mom shows or gives to her children does not characterize her as it characterizes God. God is love, and in him we can learn to love one another, because in him we experience love. I never experienced a father love, as I shared many times, because my father passed on when I was only 5 years old. I can't even remember how he looks. All I can remember that he's a plumish guy and maybe around my height, right? That's all I can remember. But I can remember the funeral that I went through, the Chinese rites. But I can't remember. I don't know what father's love is. And people always say, God love us as a father. I can't experience it. But it is when I become a father, then I realize that what a father's love and what God's love is all about. So God is love. It says God is love. In him we can experience, and then we can show others what love is like. So the first point is that God is the source of all of love, and from him we can learn how to love. Firstly, our own people within us, our family. That's why this service is a family church. We want to learn to love each other. Then we can love those outside the church. Secondly, God sets the example of what love is, verses 9 to verse 10. God set the example, and he sacrificed himself. Verse 9 says, the love of God was made what manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Love of God, here John says, is manifest among us, right? As individual, among us as family. It means that the love of God is really displayed, demonstrated, revealed, and expressed. The greatest gift, we know all of us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him and experience the warmth of family, the love of family. God evidently sent him, who was his only begotten Son, before he was sent out. Even before Jesus sent out, he was the Son of God. Christ is called God's only begotten Son to distinguish him from all others. We are God's sons, or we are God's children, we are God's sons. But Jesus is the only Son. This really emphasizes heighten our idea of God's love to us in giving a person of such dignity and so love of God to die for us. His only Son. So God sent it. He gives a very great on us in giving a person, God giving a person of such dignity, so love of the Father to die for us. And there's the beautiful word here. It says that He manifested an only Son. We are all God's children. So that we, God sent His Son to die for us so that we can live in Him, so that we no longer strive on our own, but live victoriously in Him. God has loved us in such a way He has given us life. God sets the example. By the atoning death of Jesus Christ, it provides the means by which believers can come into a life-giving realm where love is revealed and expressed. John stressed He first loved us. His love is poured out into our heart very lavishly. That means very to the extreme, lavishly upon us. His love will never change. John 3:16, God so loved the world. And it means, includes you and me together, we are all. You are not the only person that God loved. God loves the whole world. But it includes you, includes me inside. And that is why we need to really once again emphasize that this service, we want to not only stress on focus on family, but want to reach out to others. Very important. Because we experience the love of God, we want others to experience. I just want to share this testimony. I think some of the leaders have received this testimony. Last Monday, I received a text from one of the members from Church of our Jesus Christ, our Hope, in Elliott Road, which is the Autism Center. I ministered to their parents last year, or a year or two. And then last Monday, she was admitted again, cancer, very bad, terminal. And asked me to go down and visit him. I said, okay, I'll go down. And I was sharing with her the love of God, really sharing the gospel with the love of God, how God loves us. And I said, would you like to receive Jesus, the love of God? She was afraid because she had been really praying. And just before she was admitted, she was visiting lots and lots of temples. But I shared that Lord loves you. No matter how long you live, God still loves you. And later she opened her heart to receive the Lord. And because each time when I go for emergency cases in hospital, I'll bring my baptism bowl, make sure that I can baptize them. And I was sharing with her, and then later she was so frightened. She said that she's worshiping. He said, Maman, slowly. I said, yeah, slowly, but I use my famous Hokkien words, see me, Botiatu. I mean, life, you cannot predict life, so why don't accept? Then she said, okay, she accept. Wow. I was so happy. Then the next day I said, baptize. I'm an Australian herbal. Ah. She said, okay. It was really tremendous. I still want to be baptized for a Chinese who worshipping is so bonded with so many idols. To turn over and to be baptized is really a life transforming, because many of the Chinese people believe you can go to church but don't be baptized. To them, baptism equals Christian. And she said, yes. So straight away, I asked the son, say, hey, record down, proof, and record down, and I asked her to say the sinner's prayer, so-called. Receive Jesus, receive. Cutest thing is old people, when you tell them, Boksu Lai Leong, pastor is here. Sui Lei Ho, oh, very simple. Say, pastor is here, we baptize, oh, straight away. And then sometimes you can be very, very shocking, so baptized. And then later, just a couple of days again, I received a text from the son, says that she's afraid that the husband might disapprove. But somehow it was leaked to her husband that she was baptized as a Christian. So she told her husband, say, I'm baptized, afraid. Then the husband says, I want to be baptized too. I want to be converted too. It's a double bonus to me, really double bonus. So then the husband is coming to church tomorrow for the Hokkien service, and I will share the gospel with him, and he will accept. I believe he will accept. But the only fear is that because this lady says that no one to worship her ancestors. So she's holding back her husband. Say, Luma Anikin Suele, you will get baptized so soon. She cannot carry joystick, but her husband can. Yeah, you are so cute and so humorous, but really pray for tomorrow as he comes. Just receive a text this afternoon that the husband the mother again, the wife reminded him again, don't. So he might not be coming, but we can pray that he will come tomorrow and receive and even to be baptized. Right? For old folks like that, we don't have to go baptism class 8 weeks or 9 weeks or 12 weeks or whatever. They don't, and time doesn't permit for them. As soon as possible, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, be baptized, be saved. Of course, those who can last need to attend baptism class. But in such cases, no. Right? So, what did I get? Okay. Very exciting things because we have experienced the love of God and we've got to share it out. That's what it says very clearly. God's love is manifested among us and God sent His Son. God has made it a way for us. We experience it and we've got to share. All right, share to others. And thirdly, I'm going to close now. Thirdly, God commands us. It's a command. God commands us to love each other. Verse 11 and verse 12. It says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is what? Perfected in us. If God so loved us, and we have received such love and experienced His love, we should naturally ought to love one another within ourselves than outside. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another." Now, Jesus never condemns His disciples, even in rebuking them. He's firm, but He's full of love and very gentle. That is Jesus, right? And He commands us to love others. God is the source of love. We can draw from Him love. Like it is said like electricity running through the electrical wires, that is us. Love comes from God to us, flows to other people. The disciples whom Jesus loved, John says, to love one another, we ought to love one another. The word ought means it is our duty because it is a command of God that we love others. We should because we experience God's love. We must because we have the love of God in us. Ought to love means to talk, to tell others what is right, express the view to other people. So we ought to love one another. Firstly, among ourselves, right? Sometimes it's difficult, even in a connect group or whatever. Certain people offended us, so difficult. But yet we ought to love one another. Then the world outside. Not easy to love, but we can learn to draw from God with love. Then we can love others. Now, one of the practical, don't talk about what to do, but one of the most simple practical ways of loving others within ourselves and others, right, is to be more encouraging. Practical way. In our words, give a kind word, all right? Last week at our staff devotion, every Wednesday we have staff devotion. Pastor Hambali, Harley was sharing about during our staff devotion how HTB, Holy Trinity Brompton in UK, showing love in action. He was Harley was in HTB for a week to learn about Alpha. He says always be encouraging. The British, they are very encouraging people. They smile, they hug. Right? If Singapore, you hug him, hug people. What are you trying to do? Be more encouraging. And that's one of the practical ways. Don't talk about others. I'm not going to share about how difficult it is. Be more encouraging in your words. As you live this century, be more encouraging, right? Singaporeans are basically not so positive and encouraging, even among Christians, believe me or not. Let's say, for example, this joke that Harley was telling, I think it was so humorous. When someone in a buffet eats large amount of food and very fast gobble down the food, what do we say? Why so hungry? Right? Why so kiasu? Slow down. Why eat so fast? There are a lot of foods left. These are very negative words. I mean, of course, he's hungry. He likes to eat so much. Why? Hungry. Right? So kiasu, so much thing left. This is typical Singaporean. Put it this way, more positive. Yeah, he eats a lot. It may irritate us. But you can say things that, wow, I find the food here very nice. Right? We are all enjoying it. Let's eat and enjoy ourselves. Isn't that more positive? Enjoy it. I have a very positive family. I'm proud and I praise God for it. Because they always, Carol and my two boys always remind me, very positive, very encouraging words. The former church I was in, I was shocked one day. One of the parish workers came, and then it was a function, and then some of the old members came back. And this parish worker saw this lady who has put on lots of weight. All right. The first thing is, ayo. Right. Why so fat? Why so fat? And I said, hey, be careful what you say. Immediately I told him. He said, it's okay because we are very close to each other. That's the way. We are close. We can joke about it. I said, no, it's not right. Why so fat? After many years. Let's be more encouraging. One of the practical ways really ought to love another is your words. Ephesians tells us, let our words, right, be more encouraging. Let no unwholesome words come out from your mouth, but words that are encouraging. And this is one of the ways we can show love. Be positive. Encourage people. The one, why so hungry? Why so fat? Cut off. Say, yeah, it's good. Today's food is really good. Yeah. Of course, you don't say eat more, but yeah, it's nice, right? So be more encouraging. Let us really, at least today, whatever you learn, let us ought to love and show love. Be more encouraging and loving in our words. The other thing is that we may not say anything, but our mind, right? We may not say something negative, but sometimes we give the very judgmental look at people, right? Silent, negative look. Let us be more encouraging. God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us, and we can love others. The disciples whom Jesus loved is encouraging us to allow God's love to flow through us. For God is love, love must characterize those who claim to be born of God, know God. If we claim to be doing the will of God, we want to do the will of God and reflecting God's activity in the world, must firstly be known by the love we have for one another. John 13, verse 35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If love is lacking for fellow Christians among us, there's no knowledge of God. Christians cannot claim to know God but do not love others. How can one who lacks love for God's people or others be said to know of God who is love? Our lack of love for others simply shows that we are not in touch with God who is the source of love. When we have no love for others, it's just disgrace. We are not following the model of love God given to us. In fact, we are disobeying Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a whole passage on love. God's love is a model for how and why we are to love each other. Recently, I experienced a month ago, I experienced the love of God flow through me. I call it the chicken wings of Yishun, the chicken wing story. I was buying dinner and then I buy this food, chabi hoon and chicken wings. And one old lady came near me. I thought she was a seller. Said, someone, auntie, want to buy. Said, how much? How much is the wing? I said, oh, it's about 150. Then I, Tapa was about to go. He said, can you buy me a chicken wing? I said, why should I? Why should I buy you a chicken wing? You are properly dressed and you seem to be okay. Why should I? In my heart, I was thinking. So I said, no. Mola. And then I walked. Whoa, halfway. I tell you, it was the worst walk in my life. I turned back. I said, why? Why must I do that? Can't I just spare a chicken wing? And I turned back. It was so hard. No, I tried to ignore, but I cannot. That's how the love of God comes into our life, manifest. So I turned back, and I saw her sitting down there. She's a carton paper collector, you know, those carton boxes. Wow, my heart really melted. She may be properly dressed, but she was sitting at the corner packing her thing. And I went back to the store. I said, can you have two chicken wings? He said, yeah, $3. I take one, I give her one. It's like good enough, okay. So I said,
阿嬷, 吃好了, wow, she was so happy. And what I call that the chicken wing of Yishun story. Really, God can use that to teach me. Really, I was just so ignorant. I just walked. And when I walked out of the store, it just no peace in me. Really, I cannot. And then I turned back as I walked. Then I saw her sitting down there collecting carton boxes. What is 150 to me? What is a chicken wing to me? Right? It's a good testimony. I learned, and I believe many of us learned that. Give. Don't ask them whether you're genuine, hungry or not. Just give. It was beautiful, and I experienced the love of God. I went back, I told my boys, yeah, give. If I don't give, I tell you, I don't know. Because God's love manifests in us. So we need to learn. Christians need to, all of us need to love, need to live out our love in kindness and generosity and service to others. God not only gives us the command to love, but He has modeled for us. John 13, he washes his disciples' feet. Love that does not express itself concretely in service for others is not love. But the most beautiful and the greatest thing is that God empowers us to do that. By confession of the Son of God, He was sent to us. We come to know the source of God, a love we have. How can we not love others? We're going to look through the scriptures once more. Can I have the next slide? All right. Let this word sink into our head. John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. I want to have this time of ministry to each one of us, right? As what we always do after the sermon, we want to have a time to ask the Holy Spirit to come, right, and minister to us. He's always here. He ministered to us. We're going to step into the ministry of the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, empower us to love, so that we can sing. We can sing the love of God forever and ever. Can I invite you to stand? We're going to sing once through, and later the altar is open, asking God to empower us to love. Thank you, Lord. I could sing of His love forever and ever. Let this be our prayer. And as we sing the love of God, we want to sing it, show it to others too. Over the mountains and the sea, the river runs with love for me. Hallelujah. Chorus. Is open. Let us come and step into the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's here to minister to us, to love, to receive, firstly, to receive God's love in us. God sent His only Son so that we can be saved, so that we can have life eternal. Receive this love and then ask the Lord to empower us to love our family members,
our children, our spouse, our parents, that God's love will manifest in us, that we can love them. And then we can love the world. We're going to sing one more time this song and then just invite you to come. Let's not hold back. Let's go step forward. God is going to minister. Let's sing this. Altar is open. Let the love of God fill us.